Lord, whatever we hear now that comes from you, would you please bless? And whatever that's said is a distraction and turns us away from you, would you graciously forgive? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please sit. We heard in the second reading, St. Paul was talking about Jesus, and he says, he is the image of the invisible God. I want to talk about Jesus now for the next few minutes. Who else would you talk about in a Christian church? Among followers and believers in him. Well, while training at theological college, before I was ordained many moons ago, I attended a lecture at Bristol Cathedral. It was an extra lecture that I had to. I obviously had nothing else to do, so I went along to this lecture one evening. It was a very special evening, and there was a special priest and theologian who was going to be speaking. He'd come a long distance. I'd heard about him, read a bit of what he'd written, and I wanted to hear more. He spoke for about an hour, quite a long time. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that this morning. And do you know what? Please don't tell him. Not that I'm sure he's with us anymore, but please don't tell him. I can't remember a word of what he said. Apart from one sentence. One sentence, and I can repeat it accurately, verbatim. And that sentence had the ability to affect pretty much my life and also the ministry that I've offered to the church over these last 32 years. I've been ordained 32 years. And it's this. I'll say it twice because it's a bit of a mouthful. But it's about Jesus. To understand who Jesus Christ is for us today, we need to understand who Jesus of Nazareth was. So if we believe, as we're going to stand later in the creed, to affirm that he is alive today, the same person, if that's the same person, we need to go back into the Gospels and investigate who he was, the man from Nazareth. If we believe he's with us and alive and here today, then it's important that we become experts. Ever thought of yourself as that? But why not, as part of our objectives for our lives, to become experts into who Jesus of Nazareth was, so that we can appreciate who it is who walks with us today. The historical figure. What he said and what he did. How he behaved. How he's recorded. What was going on at the time that was relevant to what he said? What was the context? And how does that relate to today? You may find that sometimes, if you do that, you may well find that there's a contrast to be made between the person who walks this earth back then and the person that we claim to follow today. I'm not speaking of you. I'm looking more generally, more widely. We think we know who the one is, who is alive. And we say and do things and make decisions and others do in his name. It's important to ask ourselves from time to time, if Jesus was walking the earth today, Would he follow what we think he would do? It's worth thinking about. In this second scripture reading, the one we had from Colossians, we see that Paul's letter is, it's actually a very important one. And what we had read to us was actually a poem. It was a hymn that was used in the very early church. Paul uses that and inserts that into his letter. It outlines a whole series of themes that are related to who Jesus is and was, his identity, and how we can understand him today. To look at Jesus of Nazareth was and is to look at God. He is the one who speaks to us about what God is like. So therefore, Paul says he is the image of the invisible God. God was pleased to dwell in him in fullness. In him all things, in heaven and on earth, were created. As St. John's Gospel says, he is the Word that spoke the universe, the cosmos, the world, you and me, into being. Everything is held together through him and for him, St. Paul says. He holds everything together. It may not look like it at times, but that's what faith brings to us. In Jesus, God was bringing reconciliation between himself, God's self, and us through what Jesus achieves on the cross. The risen Christ is the firstborn from the dead, the one who rose on Easter day, defeating death, the power of death, has brought those and who were estranged from God into the possibility of becoming like him, of becoming holy, securely established in faith as one of his followers. I wonder if you've thought about yourself as being in that situation. You and I are reconciled, reunited with God, the one who made the universe. That blows, I don't know, it blows my canister. I don't know if it does yours. Paul puts Jesus firmly at the center of all things. There's no room for saying that Jesus is just a holy man or a powerful religious figure or leader or a prophet. He's much, much, yes, he's those, but he's much, much more than that. Paul is saying if you want to see things as they are, if you want to escape what I would call the hall of mirrors, you've been in those, haven't you, where it's, you walk through a hall of mirrors and they're all distorted, you're distorted as you walk through. To see what humanity can be, to see all that you and I can be, is to look through him. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know what God thinks is important, what God has to say, you look at what Jesus of Nazareth said and did. Yes, although Amos, about 700 years before, had said things about God, Jesus embodied what Amos said. Look at Jesus for yourself. Read the Gospels. And you will see that he reaches out to the poor. He reaches out to the marginalized. And as in our gospel reading today, He is very happy being in the company of what was then third-class citizens, women. He restores them to himself. If you want to know yourself as God sees you, who am I, is often a question we ask ourselves. Not as a smiley selfie or a little video I might do on TikTok. Not through the grey mist of our low self-esteem that we sometimes exhibit. We look at Jesus and how he reaches out to us. Andrew, how does he do that? Look at the gospel reading today again. He knows you by name. He knew Martha and Mary and used their names. He knows you. He knows the amount of hair you have on your head. He is familiar with all of you, and he loves you. I understand, however, that when we look around the world, particularly at the moment, as various parts of the world, it's difficult to grasp that God is as involved as I'm suggesting. You'd have to be less than human if you're not discouraged at best by a lot of the news that's around today. There's a lot of wickedness on display. I really do think, underneath it all, that we as the human family really do find it hard, and we struggle with the demands of love and the demands of justice. But as we look to others to deliver a better world, and we do, at the same time, we need to look at ourselves and see and remind ourselves that we have faults and failings that we need to confront. It's easy to get despondent. So my encouragement is, from our readings today, something that is central to our worship here this morning, together. And my advice to myself as well is to look for hope in all that Jesus was and is for us today as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation, the one for whom we were created, the one through whom we live and move and have our being. He is God's image for us. He exhibits the power of love and calls us to follow him. Whatever comes in life, cost of living crisis, all the other commitments that have been testing at this time, the betrayal of relationships, maybe the betrayal of some of our institutions, hatred and violence might appear to be rampant. Right in the middle, at the centre, St. Paul tells us, in the midst of all that we do to each other, Jesus Christ is all and is in all. There is still the concern that we should see him right in the middle of the whole of life. Into the midst of the situations that you and I face, we place the cross, the sign of Jesus, the sign of love, the power of love. And in so doing, when we do that, in our faith, as we look at the TV, the look at the papers, or whatever you look at on your phone, we're able to reframe, reposition our thoughts and feelings when we bring him into those situations. I heard a while ago the story that an unknown painting by Vincent van Gogh was discovered in Scotland. It was called The Head of a Peasant Woman. I don't know much about the picture, but what follows I think was vaguely interesting. The painting was moved to the National Gallery in London, and that was in the early 1960s by someone called Alexander Maitland, who was a prominent Edinburgh lawyer. What was interesting, I think, about it is that the back of the painting, as they investigate, was this really by Vincent van Gogh? They did all their work on it. They had various laboratories that they used to look at this painting. They found that it was mounted on cardboard. They removed the cardboard, they removed the frame in order to look at the painting. They put the painting through an X-ray machine. Didn't know you did that with paintings. What they found was that they're hidden, sort of somehow, at the back of the painting, was actually a portrait, a self-portrait of Van Gogh on the back of the canvas, concealed in the frame. He had concealed himself whilst painting this head of the peasant woman. It led me to wonder. All too often, we hide our true selves under the glue and the cardboard of life, preferring to present to the world a different kind of image. If we want to see ourselves as we really are, we need something better than a mirror or a selfie on a mobile phone. We need to look at the one who is the fullness of all that God is, the one who shines and looks at you and I with the X-ray eyes of love. You are loved by him without limit. That's what the cross is all about. He is the true image, St. Paul says, of God. And therefore, right into the very heart of God is engraved your name. In a moment, we're going to come to the altar. We're going to gather around the Lord's table. We're going to be reminded as we go through the liturgy, as we go through the Eucharistic prayer, and remind ourselves of all that Jesus did on that night he was betrayed. He is going to become real to us in the form of bread and wine. Like in his time with Martha and Mary, he knows your name, and through the bread and wine will be coming to be with you. I hope that you feel able to come forward to receive it later, shortly. And as you come, let us remember him, the one who loves us beyond limit. Let's receive him, the bread and wine, with gratitude in our hearts. To understand who Jesus Christ is for us today, we need to understand who Jesus of Nazareth was, the image of the invisible God. Blessed be God forever. Amen.